This conversation at the Fox factory gives a great insight into how they went about developing the new grip damper. The chat is quite visual, so if you want to watch the full conversation, then just search for the EMTB podcast on YouTube and look for the video titled Grip X2 Fox Factory Deep Dive. Or if you're driving, then I'd recommend you stick around and listen to the audio only. Enjoy.
So I'm here with Sean Esters from Fox. Sean knows an awful lot about marketing when it comes to Fox products. How long have you been at Fox now?
I'm actually coming right up on my five-year anniversary here in 1 week.
Okay, this is my first launch, my first Fox launch, but I understand that the launch this year has been a little bit different to what you've done previously. Can you explain a little bit how it differs from previous product launches?
Definitely. So, I mean, historically, Fox has only done a handful of the classic kind of launch where you bring a bunch of editors together and you do the thing over the years. And actually, I joined in spring of 2019, and pretty quickly we had COVID come on, kind of heading into the 2020 launch season. So that kind of put a damper on some things. And the industry's been a little weird since then. And so we actually haven't had an opportunity to do like an in-person proper launch really since then. So coming from my background being doing launches at some of the other companies I worked for in the industry for, you know, the better part of 2 decades now, and then not getting a real chance to do an event like this for almost 5 years was kind of an interesting shift. So we really did a lot of, we kind of went more like, I guess you could call it direct to consumer in a sense, but like we bypassed the in-person launches and did a lot of sort of, you know, remote one-on-one stuff with editors and things like that. So all that being said, it was a really exciting opportunity to do something like this, but it also presented the opportunity to reimagine kind of what a launch could look like in the modern landscape, post-COVID. Not just post-COVID, but sort of the new media landscape as well, because media has changed a ton in the last 5 to 10 years.
You've got a great location here in Scotts Valley. We're so close to the Santa Cruz Trails.
Yeah.
And like you're spoilt for choice.
Was it
always a decision to hold the event here at Scotts Valley?
I mean, it's kind of the same reason the event is here is the reason we're here. And you said it, it's the trails. So we have a lot of locations now, but in the original days, Fox started actually just over the hill here in Campbell, and then was in Watsonville, which is kind of south of here. So we were a little north of here and then a little south of here, and now we ended up here. Which is really because as we've globalized and modernized as a company, we've spread out around the world and we have hubs in all of these key locations depending on the category that the team is working on to a large degree.
Sure.
So here in Scotts Valley, is the hub of our bike engineering and our race department. So for me, working with bike, it made sense for me to be here as well. And the event being here, the reason for that is because we're here and this is the closest to the source you can get with our bike engineering and race department.
I don't think we should beat about the bush.
Yeah.
So we've got the new forks and I'm particularly interested from an EMTB perspective of the Fox 38. Mm. I understand that you've got a set here that we can have a look at.
We sure have. Yeah, this is actually not just any 38. This is a Podium Gold 50th anniversary limited edition 38.
Yeah. It is bling.
It's there's only 1,974.
Interesting number.
That's the year Bob Fox first had his aha moment to get into making suspension.
Sure.
The company didn't incorporate until 1978, but Bob started making shocks in 74 out of his buddy's garage for motocross bikes. And by the time he incorporated in 78, he'd already won 3 major championships. Yeah. So not he himself, but riders using Fox shocks had won 3 championships. So that's kind of why we did that 1974 units in total of each model of fork. That's globally, so very limited. Each one comes in a special box with this gold theme on it instead of our typical orange theme. And each one also comes with Podium Gold powder coat. It's a very special powder coat process. We wanted it to really look premium and bling, and we wanted to tie into the Kashima so that it kind of looked like you dipped the whole fork in Kashima coat. Of course, you can't do that because the lowers are magnesium, the uppers are aluminum. It doesn't work that way. So we spent a lot of time developing this really beautiful Podium Gold special blend powder coat. It's a 4-stage process. You got a base coat, 2 coats of gold, and then a really nice gloss clear to make it deep and luxurious. So very premium. Being a 38, you've got all the features you would expect, the bleeders, the floating axle, the channels, all that stuff. Another thing that makes this particular fork so exciting, it's actually got an all-new damper in it as well.
Yeah, so the damper is, in my opinion, let's put this one down
for
a second.
Take this down for a bit.
So this new damper is probably the main reason that we are all here talking today. And in actual fact, you did an incredible presentation yesterday to really clearly explain how the damper works. And it's a real big improvement. It feels like a real big improvement on the previous year and quite a big step forwards now.
Right.
Can you briefly summarize the differences between the previous damper?
Totally. Yeah, so I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but Grip 2 was kind of the benchmark in the industry and for many years. The competition's been heating up the last few years for sure, and we felt that. But we also had started working on this a long time before any of that. So again, 50 years, we've been doing suspension, right? Since Bob's first shocks till now. And during that time, we've learned a lot. So that being said, with heading into this year, with our 50th anniversary, it's just incredible timing. Our engineering team set out to take everything we've learned in that 50-year wealth of knowledge and just kind of start with a clean slate on all of our dampers. So as we talked about yesterday, we'll stick to this damper for now, but there's two other dampers that are also all new for this year, as you know. So we'll focus on this one. Grip 2 won championships, it won awards, it was the benchmark, but also we knew, and our athletes were quite happy with it, but we knew we wanted more and we knew we could do more. So we leveraged the wealth of experience from our current team. You talked to Sergio yesterday, talked to Bill. We've got guys on our team who come from F1. We've got guys who come from World Rally. We've got guys who come from motocross and supercross. They've worked with all the biggest names in all of the sports where suspension matters. We put all that together and we took what we know worked about Grip 2 and we kept that and we built on that. And then we took what we felt like could be better and we made it better. So in a nutshell, we've gone from a 20 millimeter base valve to 24. So that's a pretty dramatic improvement. A couple things that allowed us to do, we could get a bigger IFP then, and the bigger IFP only has to move so much less vertically to displace the same amount of oil. So that allowed us to fit more packaging in terms of the stack height of the actual base valve. And that allowed us to go from 7 individual valves on Grip 2 to 23 individual valves, shims, valves, interchangeable term here, on Grip X2. And with that valving philosophy change, we also changed the base valve itself in terms of the orifices and the flow of those. So we're relying a lot less on orifice damping and far more on valve damping, which just opens up a lot of possibilities in terms of the tuning range and what we can get out of the damper. And then on top of that, we've sort of built in something we've been doing for quite a few years now on Grip 2 is like a pressure balance tuning philosophy. And that allows us to keep low but consistent pressures kind of in both sides of the damper, which gives it a really quick reaction time and a really glued to the ground front tire feel. So we'd added that into Grip 2 sort of over the years, but with Grip X2, we designed that philosophy, we baked it in. So the valving in the base valve in those shims is all built around that philosophy from the ground up instead of kind of like built in over the years. So we just took everything we knew, and the kind of TLDR versions, we took everything we learned over 50 years and we kind of drew a line in the sand and said, let's develop the beginning of the next 50 years now. And we started with 3 all new all grip, all spring-backed IFP, self-healing based architecture dampers that are category optimized for different styles of riding.
So the hard job for me is to try and articulate how the fork feels when I ride.
Yeah.
And obviously yesterday I spent a short amount of time on the fork on my e-bike, which is on a Levo. And the one thing I immediately noticed was how well it dealt with hollows.
Yes.
And just in those moments where you feel like you're getting out of shape.
Yeah.
The front end just stays
stuck.
Super stable.
It's stuck.
So stuck.
Yes.
And it's the first time I've really, the one issue I have is when I test forks, is it that just new fork feel?
Yeah.
Or is it something completely different?
Right.
And in this instance, I can tell that there is something different going
yes.
on there.
Yes.
And to my limited knowledge, that was the one thing that initially stood out, especially yeah. the trails we rode yesterday, a lot of straight line, kind of rocky, yeah. janky terrain.
Yep.
Can you kind of allude to what might it might be that has led to that more stuck feel that I'm
yeah.
feeling?
Yeah, yeah. It's the sum of all of the parts that we mentioned earlier and kind of a whole lot more. And this is fun because as we were building the presentations and going through all of this, we sort of, you know, the sort of conclusion that we came to is like, there isn't one gizmo or one little specific thing. Like, we've got VVC still on high speed rebound, but like, that's not the thing. There's no one thing. It's the amalgamation of all of the things, the 50 years of knowledge across all those different forms of motorsports, and then putting that into this, right? So, but in terms of mechanics, the simplest terms you can put it in are the ones we talked about a moment ago, with that shift in philosophy to more valving based damping instead of orifice, because an orifice is a fixed hole, right? And a valve is much more fluid and dynamic, so you can control for a lot more variables that way. But then the pressure balancing philosophy around that as well is what creates that consistency and allows the fork to react in a very predictable way. So what you get is actually, as you increase support compression, you do not introduce more harshness, which was kind of the old paradigm.
Yeah.
That's kind of the nut that we've cracked here,
yeah.
is more damping and less harshness instead of the all other way around.
The way in which I would set up a fork previously, I would often have the high speed compression wide open.
Yes.
And particularly on an e-bike,
yep.
the importance to
yes.
of reducing that bob on the climb is it's less
doesn't
important.
Matter.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter. So I'd leave it wide open. It was almost something, the high speed compression knob was something I was carrying around.
Right.
And I didn't need it.
Right. And you know what? You're not alone in that. And not even just e-bikes. That was pretty common on the older dampers.
Did you find as well for lighter riders, that was another issue? Like even for racers, mm-hmm. like female racers mm-hmm. perhaps, were they often running compression open?
They would run compression open, and you could talk to Jordy for more specifics, but you know, it wouldn't be uncommon for us to custom tune a damper for an outlier.
Yep.
You know, you've got a lighter rider who also happens to be a 1% talent ability level rider, right? That's not something an aftermarket tune could really accommodate for in the past, but I would say with the new dampers we can accommodate for that. We're finding that people are running lower pressures, air pressures, by about 5 psi and still getting, you know, a better feel out of the fork and more support.
It felt super supple, and
yeah.
then and like almost to the point at which I felt like once I was on the trail it might be diving too much.
Yeah.
But actually once I was out on the trail, it just felt the same as
yeah.
I normally ride.
Yeah.
So it's quite a shock actually.
Yeah. Well, that thing you said a moment ago about the recovery from the bumps and the way that it reacts, it's like kind of goes back to what Bill was talking about yesterday in the presentation about music happens between the notes.
Yeah.
Suspension is what happens between the bumps, more so even than it is what happens on the bumps, right? Like the bump itself is what we think of as suspension, but really it's what the suspension does after that to react and get ready for the next bump that kind of matters the most. And that's where we spent a lot of time working on, was between the notes.
So what else do we have here that's of interest?
Well, one quick thing on the 38 I was going to say,
sorry.
You've mentioned e-bikes and such a lot. One of the things I love about the 38 is it's such a beefy chassis that it's EMTB approved for full fat e-bikes right out of the box. Whereas if you're talking 36 or 34, some of our other forks, if you want to get our EMTB, you know, full power EMTB approved version, we go to a thicker upper tube.
Okay.
And we do a few other things to the fork to make it the chassis a little more stout. But the 38 on its own, just being so big already, is already EMTB approved. So I love that, and with the new damper having that wider compression range, we kind of talked about our EMTB tuning philosophy is aligned to yours, which is less compression damping, because you're able to pedal and power through so many things that you couldn't on an analog bike. And so a little less compression actually helps to keep the tires on the ground there, right? So the 38's great, a versatile fork, because it's fantastic for e-bikes or analog bikes.
Yeah, definitely.
That being
goes to show.
Said, when you said. Unbox your Podium Gold fork, if you're lucky enough to get one, a couple of little Easter eggs that kind of come with. One of the things we included is a rear decal sheet. And it's kind of a tying colorway. So you've got like the Podium Gold, and then the background color here isn't actually full on black. It's kind of like an incredibly dark brown, has a little gold in it. And that's the color that you find on the front of the fork here as well. So you've got the same color palette to tie it all together. And there's every individual shock decal here for any Fox model, current or even very recent. So going back maybe like 8 to 10 years. So that's kind of a nice little Easter egg to the, so make sure that the carpet matches the drapes or however you want, however you want to put it. And then of course, you know, you get your owner's guide, you get all your volume spacers, your star nut, all that stuff. But the other really special Easter egg that comes with these forks, in addition, of course, to the special gold box, is you get this authenticity card. So it comes in this tidy little envelope with the gold foil on it. It's got our 50 years of pushing potential further slogan on the back there. You pop it open and you get this little placard
like
here. So yeah, it's special to each fork. So on the back of the crown of the fork, you've got the serial number here. And this one ends in 0003, which means this is number 3 of 1974 units. Now this particular card is individual to each one, and it also shows you the 003 of 1974. It also shows you what fork it is, what damper it's got, what travel, the colorway, and it's got a little bit of copy here talking about our push and potential further for 50 years. On this side, you've got the little logo lockup, and you've got Bob Fox's signature etched in with his kind of signature slogan, which was good luck and good racing. So just a nice little, like I said, Easter egg, something to let you know that you've got a very special bit of kit in your hands.
Well, Sean, thank you very much for inviting me out to California to ride and for putting on such an incredible event, because it's really demonstrated the forks well. And somebody like myself who maybe struggles to really feel the difference between one fork and another,
yeah,
on this trip, it's been really eye-opening for me.
Well, it was a pleasure having you out here, and we're really stoked to hear that that you can feel what we're feeling, and that you're excited about our new dampers as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure people will be hankering for the remaining. How many? What do you think will be left for to buy?
These actually, another kind of fun perk about this is we're out here in March under embargo, but these aren't going to be available until I believe tentatively late May, yeah, possibly even a bit later. So when they become available, we anticipate they'll sell out probably in 1, 2, or 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only time we've done similar things to this, they've sold out rather quickly.
But let's not forget that the Grip X2 damper will be available in all the standard colorway forks.
Certainly. Certainly. As well as the new Grip SL and Grip X damper and the other forks as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Sean, thank you very much. And I think it's time to go and ride some bikes.
Get some lunch, ride some bikes.
Yeah.
Right on. Cheers.